bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here. The room was large, with an antique four-poster bed and other antique pieces that made it feel like it was from a 1940s UK movie. It was large enough to have its own seating area looking out onto the rolling countryside. The clouds were skitting across the sky, hiding and revealing the sun in equal measure that lit the view in a majestic display of nature's beauty. Andy looked at the scene and muttered,
"It's no wonder they call it God's country."
"What's that you say, Andy?"
"Oh, nothing. Just muttering. I was saying I had heard that Yorkshire folk call this God's country, and when you look at it like this, you can see why."
She moved away from the window and placed her bag on the small bedroom bench. Pulling it open, she started to remove her clothing and place it in one of the large wardrobes that decorated the room. She could see in her peripheral vision that Peter was watching her, and that thought pleased her more than she thought it should.
"Do you want to talk about what happened?"
"Not yet. If you don't mind, I'm going to get this stowed away, then go for a walk to collect my thoughts. Then we can talk about it."
"Do you want me to come with you?"
"No, thank you. I think I just need a little space to process what happened. Then we can talk."
"Okay, no problem. I have some calls I can make. Remember, we are to be down by 7. It's 4 now, so you have time."
"Sure. I'll be back in plenty of time. I'm going to assume that you didn't mean anything disparaging by that remark. Like, don't be late, Andy. I know you're a woman, and it will take you ages to get ready."
He had the decency to blush.
No, I didn't mean anything of the sort."
"Are all aristocratic boys so easy to fluster? I'll be back in plenty of time."
She thought about her comment and rested her hand on the door handle.
"You know he's just a boy. Well, not a boy, but certainly much, much younger."
She made her way down the stairs and out through the front door. Turning right, she circled the building, heading for the lawn she had seen at the rear of the property when they had flown in. She stopped as she rounded the corner and stared out over the formal gardens that stretched off into the distance. She could see that there was a gazebo nestled in the garden a few hundred yards away. She headed that way, mulling over in her mind the events of earlier. She knew that Eduardo was the same person she had seen in the vision in her office. The same person her voices had warned her about. Was it just coincidence that the man from her vision was the owner of the company that Gabriella worked for? He had to be involved somehow. She was fairly sure of it. As Andy looked up, she realised that she had reached the gazebo, so she sat down on a stone bench. Her mind jolted, and her murmuring started. She stood again with a start and noticed that the gazebo had been built around some old-looking stones that were protruding from the ground, one of those being the bench she had sat on. The murmurings had stopped. She sat again and they instantly returned. Getting back up, she looked at the stone bench and noticed that it wasn't a bench, but a large coffin-like structure with a lid. She got down on her knees for a closer look, and as she did, the murmurings started again. She focused.
"It's here. He's here."
They were repeating the same phrase over and over. She put her hands on the stone and the intensity of the voices increased. She let go and stood back. Walking round the structure, she realised that it might actually be possible that the lid was movable. She placed her hands against the edge of the lid. Ignoring the voices, she leaned and pushed. There was a slight judder and the lid moved. The murmurings increased in volume. She planted her feet behind her and pushed again. It was possible that there had been a little movement, but she knew at that point she would need help to move this lid. She stood, wiping her hands down her jeans. It was time to go back anyway. She would tell Peter about what was happening inside her head and what she needed to do. She would get him to help her move the lid later. So she set off back to the house. Eduardo was puzzled. The girl had an energy about her he couldn't quite explain. The moment their hands had touched, he had been transported into the darkness that he sought regularly, and he heard whisperings. Voices, new voices that he had never heard before. It was disquieting. As she was falling to the ground, the voices had become urgent, willing him to reach out and catch her. In all this time, he had never seen or felt empathy from any of those that he controlled within the realm. Until the second he had held Andy's hand, he was certain that he held sway over everything within that domain. This was something he needed to explore. He wasn't worried, more intrigued as to what had occurred. He would speak to her more this evening at the party. He'd reached the door of his office, as he had been thinking, so he went in. It was time to check with everyone to see how things were progressing. He sat at his desk and closed his eyes. Summoning energy, he left his human form and became part of his realm. Here, he was all-powerful. He could move around at will and influence everything. He materialised inside the cos of an embassy, right in front of one of his protégés.
Lord,
Angelique said as she acknowledged his appearance without a trace of surprise.
Angelique, how is everything going? Are we on track? Have you secured the contract we need to move the merchandise?
Yes, we have everything in place. The Kosovan government is eager to do business, having convinced them that we can deliver what they need. Once we have everybody here next month for the company convention, we can supply what they need and the $7 billion fee will be paid on receipt as agreed.
That sounds perfect, Angelique. Do we have some girls in place with the government so that once we have delivered what they require, we can then control everything we need?
Each of the high-ranking officials in the government we need covering have been taken care of and are ready to be controlled by the nanites when we need. Our girls have done well. No one suspects anything.
Perfect. I will check with the other embassies we have interest from to ensure they are as prepared as you. As you know, yours will be the first and then others will follow. We must ensure that everyone keeps in close contact with the roots so we can replenish what is needed for each of our buyers.
Of course. The network is in place and everyone is ready.
Eduardo shifted himself from the cost of an embassy and made appearances at no less than 15 other embassies around the world. He was satisfied. It wouldn't be long now. All the planning was coming to fruition, and soon he would have control over assets and people that would allow his plan to be realised. He closed his eyes again and returned to the realm, basking in the power that was held there. His father did not understand the control he now had. It had far surpassed what had been shown to him. He was ready. There would be no mistakes. He would make sure of it. He returned to his office and stood. One more loose end to take care of here, and all would be ready. He walked out and made his way to get ready for the approaching event. Andy opened the door to the room and could see Peter looking through the window, phone to his ear whilst toweling his hair. He turned as she entered and smiled, gesturing with his free hand that he would be just a minute. She nodded and returned his smile. As well as toweling his hair, Andy noticed that he was wrapped at the waist in a towel and could see his frame was well-toned but not overly muscular. More like the physique of a free climber, strong and lithe. She felt her cheeks warming and leant down to discard the boots she had put on for a walk.
My God, I feel like a schoolgirl with a crush again.
Did you have a nice walk? Clear your head a bit? Are you feeling better?
Thank you. Yes, though I am still a little confused over what happened, I think it relates to what I'm here for.
She walked closer to him and tilted her head to one side.
Do we have time before we need to go for a talk?
Peter looked at his watch and back at her.
We have an hour, so I would say yes, we do.
You remember me telling you about the dead girl and how she worked for Eduardo's company?
He nodded.
And do you remember I said I had been approached by the agency to help solve the case because of certain talents I have?
He nodded again.
Well, those talents I have are what you might call a little strange, maybe even weird.
She paused.
For some reason or other, I am visited by voices of spiritual beings.
She looked at him to judge his reaction, and on seeing none, ploughed on.
Sometimes on cases where there is an unexplained death, I get information from beings in the spiritual realm that help me find evidence that is hidden from usual methods of investigation. They point me in the direction of people and things connected to the deaths. There is no direct instruction as to the actual cause of the deaths, just more a leading towards the truth of the matter.
Paused again to gather her thoughts.
When I saw Gabrielle buried in the grounds of the pub, my voices began to make themselves heard. Sometimes it's hard to understand what they want and what they say, but usually if they are vocal, it means that something out of the ordinary has occurred. So I have learned to listen to these voices. In this instance, when I got back to my office, they gave me some images, and in one image I saw who I now know to be Eduardo. The voices have been giving me warnings that he is evil, though what they mean by this I don't know. And this afternoon, just now, on the walk, I sat down on what I thought was a stone bench, but when I looked closer, it was clear it was an old gravestone. I realised that there was something underneath, because every time I leant in close, the voices started. They kept saying, "It's here, he's here." I hope that after the party tonight you might come with me and we can move the top and see what's down there.
Peter was quiet. Then he spoke.
I had an auntie once who claimed she could hear voices. They locked her up.
She looked at him, startled.
I'm joking. And actually, she was great at helping you find things you had lost. It was a bit of a family party trick. Listen, when you delve into science as deeply as I have, you understand that nearly all things are possible and even probable. How exciting, though. It might be like Tomb Raider. You don't have an outfit like Lara Croft, do you? I definitely want to come with you. An adventure. Wow. And it sounds kind of risky. Makes it even better.
He smiled at her and, grabbing her hand, pulled her closer to him and planted a firm kiss on her mouth. She pulled back sharply and startled him as she stood up.
I'm sorry. I thought...
And he let his words drop away.
No. Don't be sorry. It's just... Well... Look, it's nothing you have done, and God knows, if I'm honest with myself, I've been waiting for you to do that. It's just... Well, there is something else I should tell you.
Peter looked up at her and could see the distress on her face.
Really? You don't have to explain anything to me. I should never have done that. But when I looked at you and saw how vulnerable and gorgeous you looked, I couldn't help myself.
Oh, Peter. God, I'm such a mess. Look, let's get the party out of the way. Then, when we have time, I can tell you what I want to tell you.
But don't you want to do your exploring?
I do. But sometimes, especially when the opportunity arises, you just have to prioritise things.
She bent down and gently kissed him.
I promise I will explain, and after all, we have all weekend, don't we?
Well, yes we do.
Peter said, a smile now on his face.
Yes, we do.
Okay, great. Then let's get ready and see what the party has to offer. And then what might be on offer after the party.
They both looked at each other. Peter stood up and said,
"Now that I can't wait for."